Hi, I'm Shanalyn Panchesan of Simple Thoughts Co., and you are listening to the Master of One podcast. And you can find me at simplethoughts.co.
Welcome to this Sandbox episode of the Master of One podcast, part two for this week. This week we talk to Jack of all trades, illustrator, pen letterer, podcaster, and speaker, Scotty Russell. I'm Andrew, your master of art and design.
I'm Patrick, your master of television and film.
And I'm Luke, your master of toys and games.
So limber up and get nice and stretched, because this workout's about to get intense.
Let's get swole.
For this Sandbox episode, we are excited to talk to somebody we met at Creative South last year, and this guy is an energetic artist, illustrator, hand letterer, podcaster, and speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Scotty Russell!
All right.
Hey!
Yes.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
That's quite a... no worries, man. So glad to have you. That's quite a list that we rattled off there, but every single one of those is totally you, and you totally own it. So we're going to try our best over the next 35 minutes or so to try to tackle all of those different things. And so why don't we just go ahead and jump straight in, and you give us a little bit of a what we call a Wikipedia page about yourself so that the people out there who don't know you yet can get a little bit of a... up to speed.
All right. So I've been practicing this little elevator pitch. So my name is Scotty Russell. I am from Cedar Falls, Iowa. At the day job, I do graphic design, UX, and UI design. And then at night, where I really find my passion is where I do hand lettering and illustrations under the name Perspective Collective. And I've been doing that for about 3 years this month, kicking out some kind of weekly content, drawings, blogs, podcast episodes, and it's been a trip. So I kind of grew up, I was always living the best in both worlds. So I got to be the jock, and I also got to be the artist. So I got the cream of the crop of both sides. You don't find that mix too often. And
yeah,
that's pretty much life summed up in a nutshell for me.
What was your sport of choice?
I played college football.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So even when you were in high school? You always played college football. Hey,
sport of choice, yes. So football, basketball, track, and baseball.
So you're an all-around sport guy. Because here's the deal. So we were at Creative South, and we look like people who maybe should belong in the art world. Like
we fit in great.
We fit the stereotypes. There are a handful of people who stand out above the crowd, and you are one of those people because you physically do not fit the same mold as everybody else.
You don't look like you sit at a desk.
Yeah, like you're the opposite of sedentary. You bench press the desk while you design. So anyway, that's just a little bit of
you walking around. My thought would be, oh, there's obviously another conference going on in the same building. He's at the other one.
This guy is the bodyguard of one of our speakers. Cool. That's cool.
I haven't heard that one yet. But
he walks around behind Lenny Terenzi and just cleans up his messes.
I'm Big Mike's bodyguard, man. So that's funny. I've heard that so many times. Nobody believes that I draw until I show them my work. So yeah, but always gotten that. Always.
You work out consistently though, right? You have, I'm sure, your routine, and you're in the gym 5 days a week or something.
Yeah, it's definitely routine. Otherwise, I lose that positive vibe and that edge in the mindset when I haven't been in there. So that's like my me time, my sanctuary. And I grew up a really big I was a big chunky kid. I got bullied really badly growing up. So that's still that little inner fourth grader with the bowl cut getting picked on still lives in me.
Gotcha.
And that's where I get to go and, vent and feel better.
Yeah, man.
We are all still that little fourth grader. So
yeah,
I ate that fourth grader.
You are among friends.
Let's continue on that thread then, because as far as carving time for yourself, And being regimented somewhat about that, I think this ties in great to the latest episode of the Perspective Podcast. And you talk a lot about how busy your schedule's been, which I'm sure we can all relate to that on some level. But you talk about taking that back, how you're saying that, no, I have to carve out time for me, and I have to, I can't get consumed with all these projects for other people.
Yeah, I am infamous for having a hard time of saying no to things. All I've ever known is having a super busy schedule, and I'm not going to lie, I get to the point where I burn out, I kind of lose the moment, I sucked at celebrating wins. Like if something big happened, like I spoke at Creative South last year, but my mind was right into, what's the next project on the plate? Like I'm not very good at taking a step back, reflecting and making sure that I'm mentally all right and spending time with the people that need the most time spent with them. So I get kind of locked in, focused on my work for sure.
So how do you, in that case, because this is how you make your living, you have to create art or you have to create something in some level. How do you balance that? How do you say, I have to do this because I have to eat, or buy creatine, but then also I have to force myself to not make money. Like I have to force myself just to have time to just, kind of do my own thing, even though it doesn't pay the bills necessarily.
Honestly, I'm kind of I'm not a very organized, I'm a very cluttered person, except when it comes to like my schedule, my routine. I feel like I'm the most productive when I've like dialed in what's going on in the day and scheduled those pockets of time that this needs to be done, get done. Or I schedule one big thing a day, that'll help me get to where I want to be. And, the best thing about it all is I have my wife who puts me in checks and drags me out of the office when I've been working too long. So definitely my wife puts me in check there. So that's probably the big key to make sure I'm spending time on the right things.
Yeah. So what was the thing that kind of like brought you to where you were, whatever it was a couple months ago that was like, I need to scale back and focus on myself and take some breaks and stuff. What brought you to that point?
I think it was because I went through this little depressed funk this back January. I had some nose surgery and it really put me in a dark place, all drugged up and, not feeling good about myself, and kind of made me realize like, there's a lot of other worse things going on in life than putting out content all the time. And it made me really take a step back and realize, wow, there's a lot of good things other than just creating and trying to build my business and build something for myself to own. Really put things in perspective, hence Perspective Collective, always trying to keep that perspective on life. And, it really put me in check. Like, all I think about is grinding and worrying about the next thing instead of just worrying about the good stuff that's happening now. And, I'm always thinking 5-10 years down the road instead of like what just happened that was awesome today. And, I really try and write down at least one good thing a day that's happened to me as well, just to intentionally, enjoy that moment. Cause man, that's really hard for me.
Sure.
So let's talk about that for a second. Let's kind of nestle ourselves into that depressed area, because I think it's really easy for people to look at, specifically people like your personality, and you've got a persona about you. When we see you in public, when we see you, we've seen you at Creative South now the past 2 years, you are a fun guy. You always have people around you. You're always smiling. You're always these things.
And shucks.
it can be really easy for people to think, oh man, Scotty is, he's always happy. He's always, he's got all this stuff going for him. But you said the word depression. You kind of slipped into a little bit of a depression, and I can resonate with that. And I think there's a lot of listeners who can probably resonate with that. So let's sit there for just a second and talk about, you have the Perspective Collective, and you've got these mantras that you've got to talk through, and talk to us about that moment when you realized, oh man, I'm in a dark place. I'm in a funk. And then what it took to get you out of that.
Yeah.
Like, what were you telling yourself? Like, what did you have to do? What did you turn to? How did you, what I mean?
Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm a big self-help personal development junkie. I love my audiobooks, my podcasts, my YouTube motivation videos. I want to get my head right and wind my mind. Cause we all know we have, you know, those negative voices in our head, and we want to spend more time with the positive voices. So I always try to get a quick fix with that. But during this little funk, none of my quick little remedies were working. And, you know, especially with the new Instagram algorithm, I was putting out still some of my best work, which wasn't reflecting. And I was getting caught up in the affirmation of things. And finally, I just realized I wasn't feeling like myself. I began having the hard talk, getting it off my chest and talking to my wife first, who's my best friend. And I'm not one who is really good about talking about the things I struggle with, the inner demons. And, you know, it kind of snowballed from there. Then I talked to like my little mastermind group, letting them know what's going on with me, you know, how I'm dealing with it. Then oddly enough, that kind of just opened up, went to my Instagram stories and telling people why I've been so quiet and, you know, what I've been dealing with. And that just got an unexpected amount of replies and feedback and people resonating with it. And that's when I made episode 25 of the podcast, You Are Not Alone and You Are Not Invisible. And that really, the podcast has been a way for me to really get things off my chest, humanize the situation, let you know that I'm not living a highlight reel. You know, I got the student loan debt. I got the day job. I got just the amount of stresses a normal individual has. So not trying to live a fake life on social media.
Yeah. So the You Are Not Invisible, that's going to carry us into Crop and Weapons of Mass Creation, to that talk.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe give people, I know you initially gave this talk at Crop this year, correct?
Yep, correct.
And now you said you're modifying it. So you just said this on the latest episode of the podcast, episode 40. You said that you're, I guess, expanding on it or modifying it slightly for later this year at Weapons. So maybe talk a bit about kind of what that talk centers around.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Matty Ice, Matt Dawson. It's just so fun saying that. I hope he loves it because I'm just going to continue to say it. But yeah, since the podcast, like that was probably the most responded to podcast episode and letting people know like they're not alone with their issues and their funks and their depression, and got great feedback too at Crop. And so Weapons, I'll be speaking there, and it's going to be a shorter version because I'll be only speaking for like 25 minutes instead of 45 to 50, more like TED Talkish. So I'm really going to distill it down to, you know, a quick bobbing and weaving some of my stories that I introduce into it, as well as, you know, really refining and narrowing down my main talking points and, you know, cutting down my slides. So it's just really cut to the point. Lots of stories, a couple comic reliefs in there, maybe some slides of my cats. I don't know, but
some pizza, I'm sure.
Yes. Honestly, one of the main talking points is you can't please everyone. You are not pizza. So being the people, being the serious, that's one of my main three talking points. So yeah, yes, pizza is definitely involved.
So like talk about pizza. Cause this is the, I was going to ask this at some point, like where does the love of pizza? Cause dude, I'm with you. Like pizza is a food group.
Yeah, he's
for
not
me.
Disagreeing.
Like I am a pizza follower. I'm the follower of the almighty pepperoni. Like,
yes.
Like where does that love come from?
I gotta just let you guys get a shout out real quick. You guys are the kings of segues into new topics. Seriously, everything is such a smooth transition. It's like you guys are just, you're on beat with this.
Only publicly. On the back end, we're typing feverishly to each other. Like, okay, now you take that. Now you, there's like an air control going on back here.
It's smooth. let's see. A piece of me has always loved pizza. That was a pizza pun.
Pizza me.
Honestly, I've been doodling pizza my whole life, but it really wasn't only until like the last 3 years. I always thought I had to curate my Instagram feed with only lettering and you know, it got such a robotic feeling and I just wasn't liking it anymore. Finally, I just started, you know, putting out the work that I wanted to show that I liked, that resonated with me, instead of worrying about, you know, if other people were going to like it or maybe I'm jumping on a trend. So pizza just kind of started coming out of nowhere, and you know, it's kind of taken off from there. It's ironically, it's one of the weird things I truly enjoy more than a lot of other things. If I could draw pizza, clients or pizza boxes,
It the shape, like is it the triangle and the circles, like that just does it for you? Is it that it's like a little gross because the cheese is a little like melty, or what is it?
It stems from the taste. Like I grew up, you know, Home Alone, he's like a lovely cheese pizza just for me.
Yeah.
It stemmed from that. So I grew up always like a Friday night, I'd have a lovely cheese frozen pizza just for me. Mm-hmm. So I was a pizza addict since Home Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, I have it probably two or three times a week. So it's like I have to go to the gym.
Man, I'm a Totino's party pizza. Like the you can buy them for 99 cents and get the hamburger flavor. Oh my gosh.
Hamburger flavor.
I think you're doing pizza wrong. And I didn't think that was a thing, but I'm pretty sure you're doing pizza wrong.
The three of you are going to tell me you've never had a hamburger flavored 99 cent Totino's party pizza.
I have never had that. I have had hamburger pizza.
I've never had a Totino's.
It's fine because it's still pizza. But if there's a choice, you don't get that.
Would you ever put like pizza rolls on top of a fat slice of pizza?
Well, yeah.
Are you about to tell me I need to go to the gym with you 3 days a week? Because this is the start.
Do you ever roll pizza, a pepperoni hot pocket in a slice of pizza?
Dude, why are we not having this stuff on Pinterest and like getting it pinned and famous? Next time we all kick it, we're definitely going to be doing this.
I think this is the appropriate time to announce that the four of us are starting a pizza podcast. Yes.
We'll call it the pizza party.
So you were talking about how your Instagram feed was kind of getting littered with just work and you felt like you had to curate it with specific stuff. Let's talk about your work for a few minutes because it's really good, but it also helps paint a picture of who you are and what you do. So let's talk just kind of the two different facets of it. There's some illustrative work and then there's also the hand lettering and stuff. So take whichever one of those you want to go with first and talk to us about the style that you've developed. Talk to us about how that's evolved and morphed and all that jazz. And then maybe we can move into some of the products that you just recently rolled out.
Word. Let's see, man. I've been drawing illustrations like ever since I could remember. The first one I remember doing was this dope dragon in kindergarten. I had these neon green and orange crayons. And I just slayed this dragon drawing. It was just made up of really squiggly balls and some fangs. Squiggly balls.
Naturally.
Dragon balls. Dragon Ball Z. But anyway, yeah, like I did that and, you know, the teacher caught on and I was like, I can't believe I made that. And, you know, from then on out, I had an art teacher, like kept telling my mom, like, this dude's going to make money with his art someday. I was getting my art in art shows and stuff in like third, fourth and fifth grade. But I always saw people who were better than me. So I never thought art would go anywhere. I never really called myself an artist until I graduated college, really, with a degree. I always kept art to myself, but always illustrations. And then, you know, I was always trying to draw my name cool, too, or somebody else's name cool. But it wasn't until 2013, a year before I started Perspective Collective, I really got into hand lettering. I started seeing stuff on Instagram and I became obsessed. Like I was practicing hand lettering every day. I pretty much have practiced some type of hand lettering every day for a little over 3.5 years. So it's a side obsession outside of illustration. So I equally love both of them and I really enjoy being able to blend the two. You know, I feel like that's the best way to set yourself apart because so many people are doing the same stuff online and, you know, I'm just trying to find my niche.
Yeah. Well, so I think you blended it. The phrase blending it well, it suits it perfectly because you've got these, if you look at your Instagram feed, you've got these images where you've got some kind of illustration in the background in some contrasting color. And then you've got hand lettering on top of it. And these are beautiful. Like these are, could be very, very nicely, you know, put up on a wall somewhere as just really minimalist pieces of artwork, but they've got these dual purposes, I guess, if you will, to kind of create the same. The composition is just really, really well done. I think that you've managed. You said you've been doing that since 2013 or 14.
2013 is what you said.
13
right?
is when I started hand lettering. You know?
I feel like that makes you like pretty original, though. That seems like it's pretty early.
Man, people like Jessica Hish or Eric Marinovich, you know, they came out probably like 2011, 2010, 2012-ish. So like they were the pioneers. I felt like I was jumping on late, but now it's really hitting a boom.
Yeah,
I was the second wave.
Second wave.
The
OG.
They pioneered it. You're the OG, right?
So the new OG.
That's
but it absolutely great. Shows. I mean, we talked to Panchezin.
Shauna's episode.
Shauna Lynn. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I forgot the name Fireman Calendars. And I remember the name Panchezin.
Yeah, Fireman Calendars. I love that. That's what he took away from that.
That was the main thing I took away.
That's amazing.
But yeah, one of the things I talked to her about is that there are so many people doing lettering. And so I imagine that there's a bit of a mental barrier that might come with this of like, you know, how do I, you know, stand out? Or I've been spending years and years and years in honing this. And am I being overlooked by someone that's been doing this like 3 months? Like, I feel like that just the sheer number of people that are kind of like going into that space, I think like that would hurt my brain a bit, you know, like just the emotional aspect of dealing with that.
Yeah, it's gotten really saturated. A lot of people, I mean, I spent a lot of time learning the rules, like the basic anatomy and type structure of, you know, just typefaces. You know, you got to learn the rules before you can break them. And a lot of people are just breaking the rules before they learn them. And it shows. But I mean, what can you do? That's why I add illustrations to it.
That's right.
And draw lots of pizza.
You definitely have an original spin on it. So one of the illustration pieces that you did was in conjunction with a company, and you put out this product. Why don't you tell us about that product and then the remarkable kind of story that comes along with it?
Which one? Are you talking about the mug?
Well, the mug that you just came out with, just recently.
That was really cool. It was really funny story on this one. So Deneen Pottery in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So they hit me up about 2 months ago to do one of their fourth artist collaboration series, you know, and they had people like Nathan Yonder, you know, beforehand. So pretty well-known names. But the dude found me off of Instagram. It was like my first live Instagram video. And, you know, I'm just talking to whoever's the two people that are on, and I'm drawing on a pizza box. And this dude just ran up naturally. And I guess he was just in the explore page, and I popped up on the top of like people who were live streaming. And he just randomly checked me out, was sitting there in the feed for a while, screenshotted it, and he was going to get in touch with me. But the funny thing is, he didn't screenshot my name. So he was trying to find me for like a month and a half. And finally, he just Google searched Iowa pizza illustration. And the first thing that popped up was my Instagram.
That's awesome.
Pizza did it.
Yeah. So we linked up, and he shot me like four designs that he thought could work well. We centered on this cat floating in outer space, trying to hunt down a piece of pizza. And I drew that one on a lunch break. It's funny. It was National Pizza Day. And I drew that one. I had an idea sitting in my head for a while. I went home on my 30-minute break, and I took a little time-lapse video over my shoulder, made a little video of it, not thinking it would do anything. It was just a drawing that was for me, and it stuck in my head, and it was time to be created. And that's the one that they loved, and it just so happens they have a really loyal audience, and who doesn't like cats and pizza, especially combined when it deals with coffee? Mm-hmm. We put out 200 mugs. Each one was hand-thrown. You know, everything was done by hand, glazed by hand.
Wow.
Yep. And we put out 200 of them, and within 30 minutes, they all sold out. Like, they had people blowing them up, pissed off because their, you know, connection wasn't working. Their site kept going down. They've never had that much traffic. And yeah, it was pretty incredible. I've never been a part of anything like that.
And that's incredible. And the product looks awesome. But in addition to that, there was a rare space cat. There, one of them, I guess, made it through the whole process with the illustration upside down.
Yeah, and they I wish they would have gave me that one, but it went to a better cause. They ended up auctioning it off on eBay to raise money to go to an animal shelter donation, which is kick ass. But anyway, they auctioned it off, and it got like $740 or something like that.
Holy cow!
Wow!
Yeah,
unreal. So
take us. Okay, so you said that's never happened to you before. So walk us through that. We talked about a little bit about the dark place, right? We talked a little bit about the depression and getting out of that. Talk to us about that moment.
I made sure to celebrate. I'm getting better at doing that. So I definitely had a small celebration with my wife. We ordered in some pizza and had some wine. So like, even if it's not a huge celebration, like I make sure to do something in remembrance. Yeah, we had some Godfather's pizza. I remember that. And we got a couple extra sides. You know, we were going all out that night. Yeah.
You got the dessert pizza and the breadsticks that night.
Dude, yes. You knew. Did
oh,
you,
I know
did
what's
you see
up.
My Instagram?
Oh, I know what's up. Yeah, man. I checked your Instagram. Also, I assume that you when you said Godfather's, you meant hamburger Tostinos, right?
No.
Well, it's Totinos, but whatever.
Whatever. I always get Tostitos and Totinos mixed up.
We've graduated a little bit from Totino's over here.
And you and your
we're
wife
we're going
have
Jack's
a,
Pizza.
I have no idea what Jack's is.
What?
Yeah, you and your... Well, I did have Luigi's in Ohio with
Dude.
Luke.
Oh, just,
that place
Jack's
is
Pizza
legit.
Is just frozen pizza. Just oh, frozen okay. pizza. It's like Tombstone, the a lower-end Tombstone.
All right.
No, that's terrible.
That's
Tombstone
like Red
is
Baron
already low-end.
Land.
What? You think low-end... Wait. Can we all just pause for 1 second?
My pizza's $2.50. Yours is 99 cents,
yeah,
bro.
I was going to say, this coming from the guy who's like pizza of choice is Totino's hamburger pizza.
Okay, but here's... Okay, hold on. This is how I'd explain it. I can make the correlation with Chinese food much better. So, like, Chinese food, there's like a huge range. And like, if you've had high-end Chinese food, then like, that's really good and that's fine. And then there's like a not quite high-end and it's like really terrible. But then if you get to the bottom of the barrel, cheap Chinese, like orange chicken, which isn't even from China, it tastes amazing. So like, I have to either have a like dollar scoop cheap Chinese, or I need to have like $30 a plate Chinese, but I can't have anything in the middle. That's how I am with pizza.
You're an
I
extremist. Need, you could have just said, I'm an extremist. And then we would have known exactly.
I need a cafeteria rectangle of pizza.
Oh,
or
the one
I need
with, like,
to
that
actually,
thin layer of slime on the bottom.
Those were the best.
And some like green
or
beans stuck to it.
I need to like, yeah, I have to have like a $12 slice. That's what I
so
need.
So what it you're saying though, middle. Scotty, is it was a really exciting moment for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does this, yes, back to the mugs. Yeah,
this has devolved into cafeteria pizza. Please take us back, Scotty.
For those who wanted one of the mugs, that design isn't coming out anymore, but we are doing a follow-up. We're going to do 500 of a new cat pizza-related design. So
nice.
That's kind of
really?
One of the work in progress I'm doing in the next couple weeks. So
when are you doing the puppy pizza design? I mean,
man, I grew
like,
up with
a...
dogs, but I don't have a dog now. So I'm too busy and too on the go to give the dog the love and attention it needs. So we got two cats that are sisters, and they keep each other company while I'm going.
Yeah, because
so.
Cats hate people.
What about... I was going to say, though, but what about those of us who are gluten-free and allergic to cats?
Ooh. I can't help you. I create for me.
That's the exact right answer.
You can't please everyone. You're not pizza.
That's
you can't
right.
please everyone.
So, yeah, right, Patrick. You have an... No, I was going to ask, you have an anniversary coming up. That's exciting.
July 18th. I remembered it.
It's the two-year, right?
2 year, but it's also the day that I asked her to go out with me too. So that we dated for 7 years before that as well. So July 18th, it was an easy date to remember. And it just happened to land on a Saturday for our wedding. Worked up great.
You threw me off so much because I think in your podcast, at least I heard 2 month. I heard you say I'm celebrating my 2 month anniversary in July. And
I
said something.
I messed that up.
Yeah. And I was like, He did a Creative South and
you,
immediately
you probably
went
were right,
and got
and
married.
Patrick
like
just
right
misheard
it
because he half listens
Dude,
to
I
everything.
Have so many errors in my podcast, so many errors. So, yes, I totally believe it. You're not the only one who's ever been like, this didn't make sense, Scotty. And I'm like, yeah, it is it is. I'm new to this.
We never have any errors.
Well,
that's what we saved the blooper episode for.
I know. That's genius.
But I think that's a good place, probably a good topic to end on before we move to final questions. And that's... You're 3 years into creating content. It's very easy when you're early, early in that stage when you first decide, like, I'll create one thing a day for a month or something. It's easy to be really self-conscious about that stuff or be really hard on yourself or just only see the mistakes. I would imagine that at this point, it's probably a lot easier for you to make something and put it out there and not let the mistakes, like nag at you. So, what's that like? To be able to make something and just be confident with yourself, the energy you put in it, and be able to walk away from it, even if there might be a mistake floating around.
Well, you guys know we're all our own worst critics. You know, we're self art directors. We're the hardest on our work, and you know that used to hold me back from ever hitting publish. Plus the fact I was terrified of what people would think and being judged. But I'm a big believer of 80% is better than someone's 0%, and you got to put a lot of crappy work out there in order to find your best work. Got to have a lot of at-bats in order to, you know, get a hold of the home runs. So me, I realize I will live another day. I will post another week. I'll be all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dude.
All right. Well, let's flow straight into finals. Andrew.
Let's do it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Why don't you ask your final question?
Sure. So you talked earlier about when we were talking about your godlike physique. You said that it's all about the regimen and the routine. I'm guessing that goes beyond just working out. That goes into your talent, your technique, the work you do. What's your, like, if there's someone out there, they're trying to take away one nugget and that's the thing that they're worst at right now. They're just terrible at setting a routine because they work from home. They're a freelancer and it's always easy to put on, you know, the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And then they just end up realizing that 6 hours later, they've gotten zero design work done. What would you say would be that nugget for getting that routine in place and sticking to it?
Man, take a look at your day and where are those pockets of time where maybe you're watching YouTube cat videos or you're binging on Netflix or Game of Thrones like I like to do sometimes. But I would say find that empty pocket of time, schedule one big thing a day. Like anybody can accomplish one thing a day. Like it's not that hard to make time for that. Otherwise, you're just making excuses. But schedule one big thing a day. Carve a little time out of the day, whether it's a half hour just to get started, you know, and work from there. But I mean, everyone's capable of one big thing a day.
I love it.
That's it. It's manageable. It's objective. And, you know, it's an easy to reach goal. It's a true SMART goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Just pick that one big thing a day and make it happen. All right. That's mine.
I'll take it back because Luke always asks the absolute best final question.
You're going to be floored by his final question. It's like, going to make you just rethink everything.
You
about
may never
life.
Touch a microphone again after Ooh. You hear his final question. So I'm going to go first. Okay. So speaking, you do have an amazing amount of energy and you are very captivating and you do these talks. So obviously you've been around Creative South and Crop, Up It's Mass Creation, but also at Creative South this past year, you did a workshop as well. And my wife was in that workshop. So
yeah.
She was, yeah. So I'm curious, what would you identify for someone that is maybe kind of ready to start sharing their story or has something to say, but isn't maybe sure, you know, hasn't maybe found their voice yet or isn't sure how to approach that. What would your advice be for putting together a presentation and being able to speak well to a group of people?
First off, did she mention how bad I was like sweating in the beginning and I had to call myself out and make fun of myself first?
She has to look at me all the time.
She,
okay.
Yeah,
you,
you,
she
thought you it was were normal. Like as... Yeah, you were as dry ice, my friend, compared to Patrick on a normal day.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, like in the middle of it, I was making my point, like, don't let people know you're nervous because that makes the audience nervous. You know, never let them see you sweat. And as I have my hands up, like I'm just drenched. Oh, I felt like a jackass, but, you know, it made some really good comic relief. But in order to find your voice and start sharing some things out there for me, you know, I always thought I was just a polished Instagram post. But going to Creative South and being around other like-minded creative people, I started realizing, like, you know, I have more to share outside of just, you know, a nice little drawing with my pens and pencils around it. And so I started writing, and I would have never considered myself as a writer, but that really helped me, you know, work some things out in my head, get some ideas out there. And I don't consider myself an authority, but once you start putting content out there, sharing your thoughts and ideas, you start positioning yourself as some type of an authority, even sure. if it's just with people who don't know as much as you. So I don't think I'm like some expert by any means, but you know, that really helped me. And then honestly, getting into speaking was totally random. Diane Gibbs just randomly hit me up after reading one of my blogs and offered me an opportunity. Everything in me wanted to say no. And, you know, I believe the things that you're most afraid of is where you're going to deliver the most value. So I said yes. And it was like the scariest thing ever. But that kind of normalized it since. But I don't know. Just something like writing or vlogging, you know, putting yourself out there, realizing that not everyone's going to love it. But at the same time, people can hate. But that leaves plenty of other people that can actually love you and what you're doing, your story, your message. And people can relate to you. So,
yeah,
I mean, you're not alone. You're not alone with your problems.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, man. So here's my final one. We've talked a lot.
Let's go.
Dude, you do so much stuff, right? You are an illustrator. You do UX, UI design. You are a speaking coach. You're a podcaster. And you have said now that you put yourself out there. If you mess up, whatever, you don't care. You know you have another day, another week. But you also just said you do the things that scare you. What's the next thing that scares you? Like, what's on the horizon for you that you're pushing yourself towards?
Dude, yes. Honestly, it's video. I don't like being on camera. I hate having my photo taken. You know, doing public speaking is terrifying, but it's also like the biggest adrenaline rush ever. But for me, the future is YouTube. Like, I went and spoke to like a class of middle schoolers a couple weeks ago, and all they did was watch YouTube. Like, that's their TV.
Yeah.
And for me, the scariest thing for me is I don't know anything about video. You know, I suck at video and I'm terrified of putting my face out there. But for me, maybe that's where the next step of where I can make a bigger impact and help people out is, you know, recording video and putting it on YouTube, not a vlog, but I don't know. Maybe you guys can help me give you some ideas, but somehow putting some type of video weekly on YouTube and maybe some B-roll footage of drawings along with it. I have no idea. You know, it's scary, but just like anything, you don't know where to start. So just do it and figure it out along the way.
Well, so you said earlier that one of the things that brought you out of some of that darkness, and also some of the things that you just do regularly as just part of your personality, is you go to YouTube and you watch videos that inspire you, that motivate you, and you do, among other things, but YouTube is one of the things you listed on there. I love that you are, and you listen to podcasts and you look at Instagram for people. So like, I love that you are actually contributing back to the community that is helping you get there. So many people just like to consume, and just take from the community, which is fine because that's why the community puts it out there. But you are contributing back to it. And I think, that's something that shouldn't be overlooked. And when there's a day that might be, you know, more difficult, or something didn't go exactly right, or you haven't put something out in a couple days, think back to that. You're going to be creating content. You are creating content for the people who are just like you and are looking for content in the digital world. So at that note, tell people where they can find you, where they can support what you're doing, where they can see all the amazing work that you do, and where they can catch your next talk.
Awesome, man. Dude, you're too kind. For real. Thank you so much. You can find me over at perspective-collective.com. That's where the blog, the podcast, my work, everything lives there, the newsletter. Otherwise, Perspective Podcast on Instagram, Pizza Drawings only on Instagram. I do curate my pizza work. And then on Patreon, you can find me at Perspective Podcast. As you guys know, the hustle and bustle and how much money can go into the hosting and trying to get new equipment and just, you know, this part-time, full-time job outside of your day job. Like, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
So, any help on Patreon has made a massive difference in covering the bills and making my wife not so mad at me when I spend so much time trying to make things to help other people and help myself at the same time.
Yeah. So go do that. Find all that stuff out. Support what he's doing. You're going to get some good stuff. Scotty is an incredible guy and an incredible artist. So go check out all of his stuff. Before we head out of here, will you draw some tokens for us? I know that you know what these tokens look like because you've seen them in real life. You're one of the growing number now of people who has handheld these tokens in existence. So if you would do that for us, that would be super awesome.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay, cool. Are you looking to build your audience with a podcast? Then check out the folks at Cast Pro. Cast Pro is an experienced group of podcasters, developers, editors, and designers that want to remove any barriers that stand in the way of you creating your best content. No matter what your level of experience, they have the tools to come alongside you and elevate your message. With plans for the hobbyist to the professional, they've got you covered. Find out more at castpro.io. That's CASTPRO.io. Cast Pro. Focus on your message. They'll take care of everything else. So every week we draw tokens to find out exactly what categories we each have. the next week, and then we pick our topics based on those categories. So now that you're up to speed, Scotty, I'm going to need a number between 1 and 3, and you'll be picking for Patrick.
Patrick, we're going to go with 1.
Patrick, you have art and design. Congratulations, my friend.
3 in a row, guys. We're doing it.
You are just in love with it. Okay, and then you've got between 1 and 2, you'll be picking for me.
2.
2. That means that I have TV and film. Luke, you have toys and games. Once again, I think that's 2 weeks in a row,
I'm
right?
Loving it. Loving
that's
it.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Wow. You did it, Scotty.
It's like your thing. Man. Thanks. I did it.
So thank you so much for chatting with us. You are an incredible guy. But make sure you go check out all of his stuff. You can find show notes and links to all the stuff we talked about in this episode on mof1podcast.com, as well as just a smattering of other incredibly talented people, including Shauna. If you want to go back and listen to the Shauna Lynn episode, we'll put it in the show notes. Right, Patrick?
Absolutely.
That episode specifically to hear the whole idea about the fireman. That was just amazing. The fireman calendar. If you already know what that's about, you're
cards.
Giving us
fireman card greeting cards.
Was it? Oh, was it greeting cards?
Yeah, just because you have a fireman calendar doesn't mean that's what we're talking about.
Sorry, I was taking it to its next logical progression. Sorry. But as well as a ton of other artists and people that we mentioned on the show, actually, this episode. So go to M of One Podcast now to do that. You can find us on our Slack channel. Go to mofonepodcast.com/Slack to join that community. It is an incredible community of encouraging, talented, amazing. I can't say enough about that community. They're super fantastic. Once you're done doing that, head over to iTunes and Stitcher to subscribe. You'll notice that today this came to you a day earlier. This is part of our new release schedule. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're coming a day early on our interview episode. So if you never want to miss out, go over to iTunes and Stitcher and subscribe. Once you've done that, Patrick, what do you do next?
You rate and review. That's right. Say something nice or mean about us. We will read it on the show, and we will read it in whatever voice that you dictate. But honestly, it takes you a few seconds to do. It does us a lot of good, just personally and emotionally, but then also in our rankings on iTunes. So we love it all the way around. And again, we'll give you a shout-out. So it's a win-win-win.
Win. Yeah. And speaking of supporting the show, you can support the show financially as well. Scotty mentioned Patreon. We have a Patreon. Go to M of One Podcast. Nope. Go to patreon.com/M of One Podcast to support the show there. Like Scotty said, it's not free to do what we do. It's because of our current patrons that we're able to do things like upgrade all of our equipment that just happened. You're not hearing mine right now, but you will starting next week. But it's because of our patrons that is able to happen. We want to continue to produce incredible content, push ourselves, and that's because of you guys. So you can give a dollar. You can become a patron for as little as a dollar. You can get a part of the blooper episode for $5, I believe. And you can give like $75,000 if you want. We're open to all of those tiers, and we'll find something special for you. If you come to us with $75,000, Luke will mow your lawn every month.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah,
I think you could buy Luke's house for $75,000
easily.
$75,000 Totinos.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah. That's how we'll start. That's how we'll start categorizing money now. How many Totinos is that? So you can do that. I believe we're all over the internet. Just search M of One Podcast on all the different socials. Connect with us. We want to talk to you. We're here. It's a social world. But for now, we're gonna get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
I'm Scotty.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.
Peace.
This is the pizza song. The pizza song. This is a song about pizza. All about pizza. Pizza. This is the pizza song. This is the pizza song. I said that this is the pizza song. When I sing a pizza with lots of pizza, then you know you heard a pizza.
Where were we? Pizza, mugs, backtrack.
Wait, no, hey, I got a segue. Do you want one of those awesome segues?
I don't know that it counts now that you've said, here comes an awesome segue.
You killed the smoothness.
Pizza song. You claim the glory is a pizza song. When it looks like a pizza, it smells like a pizza, then you know you heard a pizza song. Bum, bum, bum. Hey, keychain, pizza song about pizza. I love a pizza.